Thank you. What a real joy and blessing and privilege and an honor it is to be able to come to your place of listening. And again, we are grateful for God's infinite wisdom, His mercy, His compassion, His love toward us. As the Scripture says, while we were yet in sinners, Christ Jesus died on our behalf. He that knew no sin became sin. Thank God for you and I. We might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only way to be made righteous or right in the sight of God Almighty is through the blood of His cross. We are sinners by birth. Sin's not imputed. We have an acknowledged sin. We choose to remain in sin. And we alienated and separated from God Almighty. And the only way to be reconciled is through the blood of God's sacrifice, a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, foreordained before the foundation of the world, before the world ever was, He was at the very beginning. And He purposed to come and to taste of His bitter cup. The Scripture wrote about Him, about His suffering, about all the things that He endured, the things that He became on our behalf that we might not die in sin and go to hell. He that knew no sin became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only way to be made righteous is to have His righteousness, that is, knowing Him as our personal Savior and Him having the great duties and responsibilities of a great high priest, the great high priest, the great mediator between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. He sacrificed Himself on our behalf. He died the death of a sinner, yet He knew no sin, but He became sin for you and I, who might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, there was no death in Him. He did no sin. He was born of a virgin, made under the law. He never knew sin. He didn't know sin whatsoever. Never did sin. It'd be impossible for Him to sin because He was God reincarnate in a human body. But being our substitute, propitiation for our sins, He took our sins in His own body and nailed them to His cross. He took away the in between God and man, that is our sins, and nailed them to His cross. He sacrificed Himself as a sweet-smelling incense, a sweet-smelling Savior unto God Almighty. He is the great mediator, the great high priest between God and man, that man being Christ Jesus. He died on our behalf. He became sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I've been made righteous and right in the sight of God Almighty, not by any good thing I've done. Nothing good about me. There's a good part about me that would be the inner man. That's where he lives. He's the good part. He said to Martha, He said, Martha, you're coming about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part and not be taken away from her. She knew when to sit still and listen to the Savior's sweet, wonderful voice. She was rejoicing, and Martha was saved as well, but she was carried about with a lot of different things, and she should have had her mind and heart on the Lord when He was there, sitting down, listening to Him, instead of being troubled about many things. So, as a believer, you got to find your place of service. You got to, of course, separate, dedicate, consecrate yourself after God saved you for service. He's not going to force you to make you, but He does invite you and try to speak to you, school you, and educate you in His perfect will. He wants you to know His will, and then you can't do His will. You know His will, then He wants you to, as a Christian, present your body daily as a living sacrifice, which is only your reasonable service, being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the new in your mind. You might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When He saved you, it's settled. You're sealed. You're preserved. You're kept, and you don't have to worry about being undone. The gates of hell can't prevail against the church of the living God. And that's, of course, a living organism, a living body. And He's the head of His body, the church. And the way to get into this body is not by an association of some type of denomination, some type of religious order. You've got to be born again, born of a new nature, divine nature. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's got to get alive in you. That's what has to happen to you if you become a member of the body of Christ. You've got to be born again, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That's why Jesus told a very religious man, I believe a man had great intentions. He defended the Lord Jesus on one occasion. He said that our law condemned a man, was had a chance to hear Him. He was a just man, and he was searching and seeking. He knew something was missing. His religion just didn't satisfy him. He knew something was wrong with what he had. But he tried to do good. He did good. He tried to make good decisions, and he knew something was missing. Of course, he came to the right source. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, my good master, what must I do in the word to inherit eternal life, to be saved, go to heaven? And Jesus spoke to him right away. He said, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, he was puzzled at that. He didn't have any idea about what he was talking about. He didn't understand. He was carnal, walked as a man. And he called him and said, "You've got to be born again." He said, "Well, how can I be an old man and get back into my mother's womb and be born?" He said, "Nicodemus, that's a water birth. You've got to be born. That's a fleshly birth. You've got to be born of a spiritual birth. The first man is an earthly man. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You experienced the birth. Very well, I said, he must be born of water, the flesh, and of the Spirit of God. You've got to be born a second time. That second birth is the Lord Jesus being birthed and born in you. God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory." Beloved, you can join every church, every organization, every religious association. I mean, you can act with everything and turn over a new leaf and do everything you can to do right things and good things, and that's good, but that's not going to save you. You're a sinner. You're dead in trespass and sin. The operation of faith got to be performed on your heart, and that's what the Lord done toward him and to them when he told him what he needed to do to get saved. And he did get saved because he came with Joseph of Arimathea to beg the body from Pontius Pilate, the body of Jesus, to bury him in a tomb where no man had laid. And of course, he was there along with him. He had a conversion. The Lord spoke to him, revealed himself to him. Later on, he understood that. Of course, he brought his broke heart and had the second birth. First man is an earthly birth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And beloved, you've got to have that second birth. He's got to be born in you. God in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. You will not know into God's heaven if you reach the age of accountability. God doesn't impute sin with people that don't have a good mind. He don't impute sin with children and babies. They don't have any understanding. They don't have any knowledge of sin. But you do. You listen to me, and you're going to be held accountable for your sin. And so you've got the experience in your birth. You've got to be born a second time. That is the Lord in heaven. That's a spiritual birth. There's an earthly birth, and there's a spiritual birth. And you've got to experience the second birth, the Lord from heaven. When that happens to you, won't nobody tell you about it. You'll be the first one to know. There'll be a transformation. There'll be a change of heart. There'll be a change of the way that you live. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, they're new creatures. Old things pass away. All things become new to you when you get saved. I'm not talking about a case of the new betters and turning over a new leaf and reforming and trying to do good things. That's well and good, but that's not going to justify you. The start point is having your sins forgiven and being born again. Not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed by the Word of God. That's the second birth. The incorrupt seed comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Cannot hear without a preacher. He can't preach except he be sent. You see, salvation is a gift. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. There's no way into God's heaven you could obtain it. If there were, then Jesus would have never had to die. That's when he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." There was no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, nobody come to the Father but by him. "Let this cup pass from me," he said. "Nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done." He said, "This purpose, this hour is the reason I came." He came to taste of his bitter cup. He was a man, listen, smitten, smitten of God, bruised by iniquity, and a chastisement of peace was and is upon him. He took our place. He is our substitute. He's a spotless lamb, a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, foreordained before the foundation of the world. You try to get to heaven outside him, you'll go straight to hell. There's not but one way. He is the way. There's not but one truth. He is the truth, beloved of God. He came and settled a sin debt. He brought reconciliation back to a lost and a dying world. When he tasted of his bitter cup, beloved, boy, it was bitter. God have mercy. You need to read Psalm 22, all of it. You need to read Psalm 22, and you need to read Isaiah chapter number 52, the last verse, and all the chapter number 53. Look at what he suffered on our behalf. Yet he knew no sin, but became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness, or right, in the sight of God Almighty. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man, nobody is going to come into the Father's presence except through and by him. He, thank God, is the Savior of all mankind. He died for my sin. He that knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. If you get to heaven, it won't be by you being good. Because there's none good, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all like sheep gone astray, but the Lord Jesus has laid the iniquity all upon him, and by his stripes only can you be healed. You can only be justified through what he's done. Beloved, he was delivered all offenses, our sins, and raised again for our justification. If you expect to get justified, it'll be what he's done on your behalf in you, whether you've had know Him, invited Him into your heart and gave up yourself and brought that broke heart, that contrite spirit, you call on the God to have mercy. But not tongue and cheek and mind and mouth. It's not with the mind, it's with the heart. That's the soul, your eternal being, beloved, your soul and the spirit of life living inside your soul. That's how you get saved, by calling on Him and believing on Him, receiving Him. Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit does rejoice in God my Savior. Their soul, spirit, and body right there. Man is a Trinity. God made a body. Now the dust of the earth. And then He put a soul inside that body. And then He put that soul in there to house the eternal spirit. God breathed into man's nostrils, breathed in his nose, and became a living soul. That soul is going to live on and on and on and on and on and on, beloved. It'll never die. God help you not to die in sin if you do, you'll taste of an eternity and a second death and an unquenchable fire where the fire will never go out and the smoke of a torment of a second death will ascend forever and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. Don't die in sin. God have mercy on you. Don't die in sin and go to hell forever. God help you to die being saved, your sin being forgiven. And for a Christian to be absent from his body is to be present with the Lord. We'll have a place prepared for us in the eternities of heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. He saved the best of the last. If He hadn't saved the best of the last, we wouldn't really know how to appreciate it. This first life, an earthly life, beloved. But I'm ready to preserve and save. The best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm enjoying heaven down here, by the way. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm enjoying a wonderful life. I just got the joy of the Lord in my heart, in my soul. And I'm telling you, as Paul said, we live, it's Christ. But to die would be my gain. But while I'm here, I'm a stranger. I'm a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim just passing through, beloved. I've got my eyes on higher things and better things. The best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to seeing Him who is invisible, this natural eye. I'm looking at Him now darkly, dimly through a glass, with Him one day face to face. I'll see Him as He is, and I'll be just like Him. I'll have my brand new body, my glorified eternal body prepared the eternity of heaven. Paul says, if we have involved the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I'm going to put on a brand new glorified body, like unto the Son of God, a body of eternal flesh. Not this flesh, but flesh and bones. That's the type of body Jesus had when He resurrected from the dead. The door being shut, He came right through the door. They thought they'd seen a spirit. He said, I'm not a spirit, it's just both. He said, I'm flesh and bone. He had a flesh and bone body, a glorified body, a heavenly body prepared for the eternity of heaven. As we have born the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly eternal body. Looking forward to dropping off this body and getting into my new body. And it's coming. I'm looking forward to His glorious appearing, but I'm not in any hurry because I want to win a lot of souls before He comes. Now, see, my time just about gone. Write to us, pray for us, and God bless you. It's our prayer in His name. Amen.